All right, thank you for that special. What a blessing. I say just a word before we start off tonight. I appreciate the film strip you saw on the missionaries before the service started. How many of you was in here early enough to see that? All right, we especially thank Sister Carolyn Lee for that, but that's just a few of our missionaries. It take a good while to get them all on the film, and many of them you'd probably remember and recognize, of course, many of them out of our church, and we praise the Lord for that. We took up an offering where we asked for you to give extra Sunday, and we'll report whatever that was. You can still give toward it tonight. You can give toward it Sunday again. We were taking up some extra to send to the special need that is now in the Philippines. I looked on our list, and the best I could tell, under HELPS alone, under the HELPS ministry alone, Brother Scotty, we were around 18 or 20. I talked to Brother Cole up at the office, HELPS office, and he thought that was about right. And so we took what offering we took, and we are sending that to HELPS, and they're getting it to the missionaries. They got a better way of doing it than us. We got some others I've got to get directly to. We've got several others besides those in the Philippines, but about 18 or 20 it's under the HELPS ministry. So don't quit giving to the cause. Please don't. The need is great. Here's a letter. I believe this. Where's Brother Young? David Young. All right. David, is this your brother that wrote this letter?
My dad.
Your dad. All right. And he's over there, right? All right, he escaped. Now, this is a report on the Philippines that Brother Young brought to me.
My brother was over there. He went in the storm.
All right, that's what I thought. Whoever wrote this letter wasn't in Tennessee, I can tell you that. So I was going to share just a little bit of that with him here. He says the media is not presenting the accurate picture. Bodies, dead bodies everywhere in the streets. He says the wind was in a circle at 195 mile circling wind and up to 235 in burst. And he was there. 20-foot storm surge. That's the waves coming in across the land. Thousands were drowned. They had put about 50,000 people in a coliseum, thinking it was the safe thing to do, but it wasn't. A lot of them drowned there. He says the count will go way above the 10,000 that they are guessing at right now. So pray for those folks over there. Some of the missionaries that we support through HELPS is in this spot. And so continue to give to it, and we're getting it over. And let me say this. Now, you understand the way America works. You got all kind of outfits that start pleading for money as soon as a disaster happens anywhere in the world. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to just be real blunt. I don't care who's watching. The Red Cross was hollering for blood after 9/11. There were no victims needing blood. They were all gone, man. You see the kind of con that goes on all the time? You got to watch it. You got to watch it. And I've told our radio station, don't just put anybody on there asking for money. I got to know about them, brother. I got to know their connections. I got to know it's Bible right and Bible church right and everything. Otherwise, stay out of Landmark's pocket. Amen? So I'm just plain about that. I know what's happening with HELPS ministers. That's why I work with them. And I know what's happening with some others, good ones. But folks, I hate to tell you, but a crook don't care whether he steals from the church or whether he steals from the grocery store. It don't matter to him. He just as soon steal from the church as he would the bank. Amen? All right. I'm not supposed to preach tonight, so we let that alone. It is good to have Scotty up here on the platform. He's no stranger to us. And he just got back off of a trip. He's not even sure which land he's in right now. He was traveling 11 airplanes, I think he said. But we got him to help us tonight, and we've got the missionaries. We got them in, fed them bread and water down at the college. Hey, if bread and water is good enough for the students, it's good enough for the missionaries. Amen. All right. We fed them a little bit and brought them on up here, and we're excited tonight about what we're going to hear. Amen. So, Scotty, I want you to come on, and we appreciate Brother Lee Padgett from Calvary in Lakeland driving them around, too. And far as I know, he didn't get a speeding ticket or get one of these red lights in town to get him, I hope. Anyway, Scotty, come on.
All right. Let me just say, you guys can come on up, and while you're coming, let me just say this. First of all, without people like Brother Padgett, would you stand, please, sir, and Brother Harvey, would you stand up? These men, we have people like this all over the place that take these guys from church to church to church, and without all this corporation, we just couldn't do it. And also at Landmark Baptist Church, all the fellows always look forward to coming here. And so you got to realize they've got heavy accents. So I said, hey, don't worry about that. They want to know the burden on your heart, give you the burden, and they can tell that, and we'll put up with their heavy accents, okay? Let me tell you something. I think about Landmark. I go up and down the road. I'm always thinking about it. And I'm thinking, what a miracle church. To me, Landmark Baptist Church is one of the miracles in this, in the whole country. I really believe that, in Haines City, Florida. And you know something? It's because, number one, you're helping the poor. I go home and I see those bus routes, and I know where many of those boys and girls come from. And folks, listen, God's word from the, I'm talking about all the way through the Bible, it talks about helping the poor. And then all these fellows here, many of them come from real poverty places, and carrying out the Great Commission. Missions, listen, we cannot quit. We just can't quit. And Pastor, God bless you for having us here. God bless you. All right, let's go ahead. Fellows, how about you start singing all? Come on right up here and sing for us.
Na hukman ku nga sundun si Jesus. Na hukman ku nga sundun si Jesus. Na hukman ku nga sundun si Jesus. Huay pag atras, huay pag atras. He decidido seguir a Cristo. He decidido seguir a Cristo, he decidido seguir a Cristo, no vuelvo atrás, no vuelvo atrás. Nimeamua kumfuata Yesu, nimeamua kumfuata Yesu.
Can you sing along with us?
Right, going. Brother Joe, if you'll get that one right there. Let me say this about Brother Joe. Let me talk about him just a minute. This is Humberto's brother. Everybody knows about Humberto? All right, that's his brother. All of the brothers are in the ministry, and he's got two sons in the ministry. I met him years ago. He couldn't even say hello in English.
Yeah.
And now he's up here trying to translate. And I said trying. All right. But God bless you, Brother Jose. And Brother Nixon, you come on up here now and give, come on up here and give your testimony. And Brother Joe, you're going to try and translate.
Yes.
Amen. You can say hello in English now.
Yes. Hello.
There you go.
We're glad to be here. We're glad to be here. And we know you are Missionary Mind Church. We love you. We love you.
Buenas noches, Dios los bendiga a todos.
Good night, God bless everybody.
Mi nombre es Nixon.
My name is Nixon, Richard Nixon.
yo soy peruano, nací en Perú.
He's from Peru, but his name is Nixon, it's true. He's from Peru.
Y bueno, el trabajo que realizo, mi casa, mi familia, la iglesia, el ministerio, Está en Colombia. Vivo en Colombia.
My house, my family, my work is in the mission field in the jungles of Colombia.
Y es un gran privilegio de poder servir a Dios en la selva colombiana.
It's a privilege to serve God in the jungles of Colombia.
Y es una bendición porque hay personas que quieren escuchar la palabra de Dios en ese lugar.
There's some people they want to hear about Jesus.
Dios nos ha permitido fundar una primera iglesia, lo cual yo estoy trabajando en ese lugar.
We started the first church over there in the jungles.
Cuando hemos llegado a un nivel, hemos crecido un poquito por la gracia de Dios, hemos pensado por los demás pueblos en la selva.
We've been growing and we're thinking about the more villages.
Y hemos dicho, ¿qué vamos a hacer? ¿Cómo vamos a alcanzar a ellos?
How we want to reach the more villages.
De tal manera que fundamos un ministerio en la iglesia.
We start a ministry in the church.
Hemos fundado un instituto bíblico dentro de la iglesia.
We start a Bible college in the church.
Los primeros que terminaron con ellos ya fundamos cuatro obras.
Now we got four churches already.
Oren por nosotros este trabajo que hacemos en la selva colombiana.
Yes, pray for us for this work we're doing in the jungles of Colombia.
Nosotros hemos catalogado que la selva colombiana es un lugar menos alcanzado con el evangelio.
They need to be rich over there because nobody wants to go to the jungles.
Yo tengo tres pastores que están trabajando como misioneros en las obras.
I got three preachers. They working in the villages.
El pastor y su esposa tienen la Biblia, su congregación no la tiene.
The pastor, they got the Bibles, but not the congregation. They don't got no Bible, the congregations.
Oren por nosotros para que podamos tener Biblia más en el futuro en este lugar.
Yes, pray for us to the churches, the congregation, they can have their own Bibles.
Yo vivo en un lugar donde no existe hospital, no hay nada, solamente es casas y personas.
I'm living in a place where there's no hospital, no pharmacy, just persons.
Nuestro medio de transporte solo es el río Amazonas con unos botecitos.
Our transportation is with a little boat.
Yo tengo un niño, hace dos años atrás iba a perder ese niño por falta de una farmacia.
I got a son, I lost my son one time.
Para llegar a un hospital se viaja 9 horas por el río con un botecito.
To go and be in the hospital, you take 9 hours in the river to reach that hospital.
Lo que hice es con mi hijo y mi esposa y los líderes de la iglesia, nos arrodillamos. Y lo dijimos a Dios, que Dios se encargue de lo que está pasando con el niño.
What we do, you know, we is when I know about my son, what we did, we is kneel down and ask God what happened with my son.
Yo le dije a Dios, Señor, no tengo hospital, no tengo farmacia, no tengo un médico, pero te tengo a ti aquí.
I told God, I don't got no pharmacy, I don't got no hospital, but I got you.
Y Dios ha hecho grandes cosas. El niño está bien, se sanó y gracias al Señor.
God is making a big things. My son, he gets healing and he is alright.
Eso me anima por seguir sirviendo al Señor.
That helped me to keep going.
Quiero terminar. Tú no puedes llegar de pronto a la selva colombiana.
I want to finish. You can't go to the jungles of Colombia.
Pero tú puedes orar y puedes ser efectivo por nosotros.
But you can pray for us.
Pero si hay posibilidad que tú llegas, bienvenido a la selva colombiana.
But if you want to go to the jungles of Colombia, come with us.
Dios lo bendiga.
God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Nixon. All right, Brother Joe, listen, I believe I want to... he did a good job of trying, didn't he? All right, I'll tell you, when I knew him, I had a great church in Mexico, and I'll never forget, you told me, Brother Joe, you said, I'm going to Victoria and start another church, and went down there and started a church and Bible school, and we're going to let you tell the people what you're going to do now.
Amen.
But you go ahead, and I'll translate for you, okay?
Thanks God that He's been so good to us. We serve. We went to Mexico in 1980. We come here when I was younger, but when I get a job and I got everything, the Lord say, I want you to go back to Mexico. So I went back to Mexico and I started a work over there. And I tell you, the preacher say, don't go. My supervisor say, don't go. Everybody say, don't go. Mexico is too hard over there. But for the grace of God, now we got 15 churches. 15 churches and a Bible college more than 200 students, they finish Bible school, and we send them to the villages, to the cities, we send them. So pray for me. I just want to read a verse from the Bible. I want to take, I want to respect your time. You have to wake up early and go to work. I want to respect your time.
Jude, beginning with verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Making the difference. I saw the sign on red. Making the difference. Thank you for making the difference. I was my daddy died when I was 5 years old. So as the life is too rough in Mexico when your daddy die. Nobody help you over there. No food stamps. Nobody help you. I start working in the age of 5 years, 6 years. I was in the streets. So the devil take my life. You know, the devil take advantage when you're in the streets. So take my life and destroy my life. And I remember my mother, she used to say, please change, son. You killing me. Always the police was around my house and looking for me all the time. And my mother with tears and her eyes telling me, change, change. And I said, I can't change. But thank God one day, a man with a mercy was talking about Jesus. And I hear about Jesus. I hear Jesus can change life. And I say, that's what I want. I want my life changed. And God bless that day. Jesus changed my life. Amen. Changed my life. And then he called me to preach. And then I raised one church. And then I raised another one and another one. But that's what God can do when a crazy man. He can pick that crazy man with his mercy and do a preacher. Do a missionary. So we've been over there in Mexico preaching and preaching because his mercy. We want to make the difference if we waiting on his mercy. We save because his mercy. When we, there's three things. To make a difference, you need a mercy. You are people with mercy, you're going to look for the other ones. Second one, you are a person with a compassion, here say, with some have compassion and make a difference. We're going to make the difference. That's why you making a difference in the whole world, because you have compassion, because you got a mission mind. Yes, keep and make difference. In Mexico, in Cuba, in Africa, you just keep doing what you're doing. Amen. Third, and I finish, you have to pull the people from the hands of the devil. I was on the hands of the devil, but the message, the gospel of grace reached me and take me from the hands of the devil. And now I'm with the Bible. Now I'm preaching. Now I got two sons. They preaching. I'm going to the south of Mexico. In Mexico, they're killing people. Men, we say like a rice. Like a rice. They're killing more than 400 people per week in Mexico. All you hear in Mexico is how many they kill every day. They cut their head. They bury them. And you... No good news for Mexico. That's why we have to send the gospel to Mexico. Mexico is in a danger right now. More than 400 people dying because they don't hear the gospel. And I'm going to the south to preach the gospel and pulling people from the hell. I'm going to Tampico. Tampico got more than 1 million people. And no churches in Tampico to preach the gospel. Missionaries come because they're afraid, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them. It's too dangerous. They take one time, one of my sons headed for 1 month.
You know, with the band and man, we was crying. I was in a little room waiting to get free. My brother Humberto, everybody was praying for them. Thanks God, he gave me the victory, and my son is with me. So it's a dangerous place. And my son said, you got 15 churches, got the Bible college. Why are you going for the South? I'm going to the South because I want to keep pulling people from the hell. Please pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen. I'll tell you what, though, he's fired up, isn't he?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, listen, I'm not going to go down there and evangelize Mexico, but people like him can do it. And we praise God for it. Brother Silverot, I want you to come. Now, I want you to come and I want you to sing for us, okay, in your dialect. Let me just say this. We started 19 years ago, and I probably, this is one of the first churches I believe we really was in. And Brother Pastor, if you remember, I think Brother Ton had started 33 works when we got involved with him. And today they have over 1,000 works. And here's one of them, but he's not going to the Philippines. He's going out as a missionary to Bangladesh. Now, here's what they've done. They've started churches and started churches and started Bible schools. And now people like him are even going through their own churches. And some of them are coming here and they're going out as missionaries. I understand there's about 27 families from the Philippines now that are on the mission field in Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, Africa, different places. And so he's going to Bangladesh. We've been there. Barbara was with me. Very poor country, isn't it, Barbara? All right. I want you to sing for us tonight. Would you do that?
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right.
Amazing grace, how sweet that sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Gracia ngaka hibulungan kana kunag luas buta man aku od hinug man kan Kristu na
He'll be here Sunday, so you'll get to hear his testimony sometime Sunday. There's almost 7,000 languages on the earth today, and God's word says, I want every tongue should hear the gospel. And that's why we ask these folks to sing in their dialect. I hope you enjoy that. And I do. All right, we're going to ask Brother George. Brother George, you come. He's from Kenya. And I'm sure he's not from, you're not from France or England or any place like that. You're from Kenya, right?
Yes.
All right. God bless you. Now, listen, what I'd like for you to do, I'd like for you to sing something in your dialect and then preach to us for about 15 minutes. Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, if you go over 15 minutes, I'll pull your coat tail, okay? All right.
Yes, sir. Good evening. I beg that you open with me in the book, Matthew, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I would like to read verse 14.
Don't forget to sing for it.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. I would like to read verse number 14. Always a joy to hear the pages of the Word of God turning. And the Word of God says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. I am George Situma, a Kenyan, born in Kenya, raised in Kenya. I'm pastor of Heritage Baptist Church in Nairobi, Kenya. Was born 45 years ago in the west of the country, and went to the primary school. Grew up as a very good boy, allow me use that word, in the eyes of the human of people. And when I was 10 years old, my dad passed away. And my mom and my siblings, we went to Quakers Church, and then we moved to Salvation Army because they were very helpful, especially during my dad's departure. And then we were in Salvation Army when I was in high school, away from home like around 10 hours. One day our school was invited to a school rally. And our school rally was basically to bring this school and this school and this school in our, where the area of our school was. And we have a get together and a preaching, a singing, and so forth. But mine, when we had that invitation, what clicked in my mind and heart was, I'll get to hang out with fellow young boys and girls of my age from other schools. We got there, I was leading the songs or the choir, presented a number, and after that, others did the same, but I couldn't wait the preacher to come and do his thing, and then we would be free to go out and mix. But when he spoke from John 14, verse 6, Christ spoke to my heart, and for the first time I realized that, yes, I have been good in the eyes of people, but my goodness was not good enough, that I needed Christ. Amen. And when he started the invitation, I was the first one to jump out of the pew and walk down the aisle. Amen. And wanted to kneel there and just ask Christ to come in my heart and save me. Amen. But a brother took me by hand and took me on the side, and he asked me the great question, why did you come? But I almost went over the sermon again because I had come purposely, because I had heard the word. And he said to me, if that is why you came, kneel beside that wall and ask Christ to come into your heart and save you. As I knelt, he stood beside me and sang, God is so good. In fact, even to date, I still do the same, lead people in that same way. And I thank God for that. I went back to the school. Now, I don't remember who else and what else happened. I don't remember if other schools came or not. I didn't hang out. And we went back to school. The school was sponsored by Salvation Army. Went back to Salvation Army, and no one ever took the word of God and taught me the basics of God's word. Now, in our country, even to date, it is mandatory for you to have a Bible when you go to school, both from primary school and high school. But you are taught always by professional teachers who, in many ways, do not know Christ as their Savior. So they teach you as other subjects. I had a Bible, but I would not go with it to church. I will keep it in my backpack so that I would go to school with it because I had to have it. But for the first time I was in church and somebody took a Bible and showed me. When I finished high school, got a job, and I was working on a Friday afternoon, I was unwell. I asked permission from my boss, and I went home rested, but I wasn't feeling better. On Saturday morning, I went to hostel. We have very few hostels in our country, and oftentimes you get many sick people together, and sometimes doctors are not very keen on time. We say in Africa, no hurry. There's no hurry in anything, including doctors in keeping their time. And so you come very early, make a line or a queue, and the doctor is not there. Sometimes you get pushing and pulling. I was here and so forth. I was treated that day, and I was making my way home after 3, spending a whole day there, no lunch, nothing. But as I went back home walking, I passed by a Baptist church, and I overheard them singing a choir practice, preparation for the following day. And I thought, I love music. Now, I'm not very instrumental. You may play something very good, and I may not notice it. But when you sing it, especially the words of God, I will want to hear it and even perhaps hum it on my way. So I came and listened a little bit, just on the back. But before I would leave, the choir director wanted to pray and beckoned me to come and join the choir in prayer as they dismissed. I came, but he was so sure to ask me to promise to come the following day so that he will, so that I will attend church. And yes, I came, and to date, I am a Baptist.
Amen.
When I came, I learned that that's where I belonged. That's where I needed to be because Amen. They showed me from the Word of God, and I am a Baptist to date.
Amen.
I am married. God has blessed us, my wife and I, with 5 children. 3 girls, Mercy, Grace, and Peace, and 2 boys, Kaki and Sifa. When I started attending Baptist Church, the pastor was a missionary from the U.S. I didn't know. He took me through the basics of the Word of God for several years. And one day he preached on entering full-time service about a year or two later. And I remember walking down the aisle and knelt and asked Christ to take control of my life. Just take it and use it. A college opened at the same church later, and I went to college to prepare for what God will do with my life. 4 years later, when I was finishing, he actually resigned as pastor to go across town to start another Baptist church. He asked me to go and lead his songs and be his deputy. And I went, and for 5 years I was under his leadership and did everything that he asked me as the church, Heritage Baptist Church, was begun and grew. But after 5 years, he came back on follow, and he took another job. He came back after that, and then he preached a bye-bye sermon and asked me to take over the work. And I have been at Heritage Baptist Church since he came back for 12 years now.
Amen.
And God has allowed us to start 3 churches,
Amen.
Evangel Baptist, Community Baptist, and Grace Baptist Church. And we also, as a church, contribute to the missionary in Tanzania, our Kenyan missionary in Tanzania, in Dar es Salaam city. And since I have been here, I have to say this, since I have been here, God has spoken to my heart. I am trusting God, and I request that you pray with me, Pastor.
Amen.
That we will plant another work in a place called Kismayu.
Amen.
Kismayu is in the south of Somalia. Most of the problems we've had as a country of Kenya, it has come from Somalia. Because these people have come into our country with arms, and the recent one was about 2 months ago when they entered a mall and started shooting people, killed many, close to 70, and injured hundreds of people. And I am just thinking to myself, God loves them too, just like he loves me and loves everyone else. So please pray with me as I go back and work with the church, and that he may open a way that they may also hear the gospel. May I sing a chorus?
Amen.
I am not singing in Swahili. I sang in Swahili earlier. I am singing in my tribal language.
Amen.
Damu hola avalovi, avalovi, avalovi.
Yes.
Damu hola avalovi, hulova bandu, hulova bandu, hulova bandu. Damu hola avalovi hulova bandu.
Amen.
Thank you. In our passage, as I read earlier, I will start off by asking, your minister here is a good man. You agree?
Amen.
And if he's a good man, if somebody came in today with an arm and threatened to take his life, will you stand before him and say, hurt me instead?
Yeah.
You don't have to answer that. Did you get me?
Yeah.
Will you stand between that person and your minister and say, hurt me instead?
Yeah.
I tend to think that you are likely to do that. I am likely to do that, especially for a good man or somebody who I know people like. The problem is that we will not do that for a bad man. Think about a bad man, a sinner out there in the street, a madman, a man that makes this city look not as good. Many people will say, do it so that you may get rid of him, so that our city or our family or our country or whatever it may be may look good. I have two people that love me in my life. One of them is my wife, and another one is Christ, or God. Now, I dated my wife when I was in college, even before I was to college, and when I went to college, I told her, I am going to college. I was among the pioneer group, and I said, I love you, but I am going to college, and I have no idea where I am headed to. I am trusting on God, and I don't want to drag you with me. So if you find somebody else good, you have my blessings. She didn't like that. But I told her anyway, and for a while I didn't want to see her because I didn't want to hurt her. Because I was trusting God, and sometimes we want to answer the question, where are we going next? How long is it going to take? Would we be able to do this and this? And at that time I had no answer to those questions. After like 3 months, we started seeing each other again. And sometimes I tend to think when we date, especially us men, we use the term seduce a girl. And in that term, there is both truth and lies, which equals to lies. Because truth has to remain truth. It can't be truth and lies to be truth. Truth plus lies is lies. Yeah, it's like I will borrow your suit and appear in a suit, and it's not mine. And if she had ever made it to stand before the altar and say, I do, and come, she realizes, I don't have that suit. It didn't belong to me. We do that. Or should I say at times? There are things perhaps if she stood here today, she would tell you, I didn't know this, I didn't know this, I didn't know this perhaps. But one person that I could not, can I use the word seduce? I could not fool. Christ knew me before I was. He knows everything about me, even my future, and yet he loves me. Amen. Yes, he loves me. I could not fool him. I cannot even today, and yet he loves me. Christ, if he was a human being and put his life in danger for me, everyone will say, you're a fool to do that. It's not good. But he did that. I hope he did that for you too, but I think I know he did that for me. I'm reminded about the lives of people that he stood in with in the Bible when I read about Zacchaeus. People who are good in the eyes of the world didn't like him for doing that, for standing and identifying and helping Zacchaeus cross the thin line to know him. He did that to many, including Mary Magdalene. He did that to Lazarus, and he did that to Paul. No one will say, go after Paul. If anything, Paul deserved to die. He had killed others. He had hurt many. He would not kill. He went after him, turned him around, and made him a vessel that he used to turn many to his saving knowledge. This very Christ, many have loved. I didn't tell you my sermon title. I called it In Big Boots, In Oversized Boots. Many saints have loved Christ. Many saints, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says they are like a cloud. And I imagine, I come from a country which ran the marathon. I think the only time that flag is hoist above other flags in the world, on the platform of the world, is when they have run the marathon. And that special song to me is sung, O God of all creation. And I can imagine that you are running and somebody or many people besides you, they're saying, you can make it. Keep it up. We made it, you can make it too. Many have loved him who went before us. They have done it, and they are saying, yes, you're facing dangers, you're facing challenges. We faced them too, and we made it. You can do it.
Amen.
You can do it.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 11, we read of a chapter that is full of heroes of faith.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't want to start the verses, but I pick on later in the chapter and they say many who were mocked and scorched and stoned like Stephen, sawn asunder like Isaiah, and slain with the sword like John the Baptist, wandered in animal skins, being destitute, wandering in desert and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. What about many more Baptists that were killed, perhaps millions, for the faith, standing and defending the truth of this word, refusing to compromise with the Catholicism of that day? They have loved him. And then many will sing, actually many of your children, and when I say your children, I mean the U.S., like Fan Crosby will write, Rescue the Perishing. David Livingstone wrote and said, God had only one son, and he made him a missionary. And he said, I am only but a poor imitation. I can't qualify to measure up in any way. Many missionaries from your land have gone far and wide.
Yeah.
And they have done great work. And many of them, perhaps it will never be said what they went through. Some of them, when they carried food from home, because that's what they knew, the natives will come and steal them away and leave them hungry. If they had anything like transport, they will burn it. They did many things, including hurting them, if not just also killing them. But they loved him, that they were willing to risk their own lives for these people they love, though they were against them. They had the word in their hand and heart, and they were ready to take it across. Many will die and say, I love you because Christ loves you. I am, in a very small way, standing out or standing up. I cannot be numbered among the many that have done that great work, but just constrained by love.
Yes.
I wish to extend the same love to many people, especially my people and the neighbors of my people, that they may get to know Christ.
Yes.
I dare to compare myself to those spiritual giants, but I can't. So I do in the little way that I can. And hopefully that God will be able to take it and multiply it and draw people to himself.
Amen.
However, I have learned a word in English. It's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 11. You don't have to turn there. And the Bible says, the words of the wise are like goads. And the way I understand it, in my culture, we rear cattle, not the way you do in your country. Your cattle are scattered abroad. They have fences, big land that they go through. But we rear cattle just behind the homestead. And we take them to feed and water them and then bring them home and tie them somewhere. And oftentimes when they are sick or they have dicks, we take them into the cattle dip. And oftentimes there is a way that is built with wood, a narrow way, and these cattle will walk down like an aisle. And in front of it is dip or medicine that will be able to treat it. it is liquid. But a cow is afraid. When it jumps into it, it's like cattle neck high. But it will not jump in. You need a goad to break it on the back, and it will be able to jump into it. That stick, or whatever it is, that will make it do what it will not do otherwise, is the goad. That is what this verse is saying, and the love of Christ constrains me. It makes me do. It makes me love the people that I could not love otherwise. It makes me walk the path that I would not walk in any way. It makes me speak a language that I would not go to learn on my own if I had to choose. It makes me go places that I would not choose to go. But for the sake of the love of God, what he has planted in me, what I have seen him do, not only when he was here, but what I've seen him do in many people that I desire to be like, is the main motivation. It's the one that pricks me and pushes me to the place he wants me to be.
Amen.
I want to leave you with a question. How far has the love of God pushed you? To what land, to what extent has the love of God pushed you? Or are you still at the same place? Is he doing anything in you? Are you doing anything you would not be doing if it wasn't for Christ? Because if you are not, don't say you love him. Don't.
Thank you, Brother George. That's a good thought and a good illustration. Those goads that push the cattle, the sticks, the sharp point. That's what Christ was referring to when he took Paul on the Damascus Road and told him it was hard for him to kick against the pricks. That's what it was referring to. And it certainly caused Paul to do some extraordinary things, didn't it? And he got saved. Good question. Sometimes I can imagine if that cow would talk, he'd say, "That hurts. I don't like that." How many times have we complained, "It hurts, we don't like that"? And yet it's the Lord pushing us the right way into going somewhere we wouldn't go. I like what he said, learn a language we wouldn't learn. Man, that's a great thought, isn't it? I appreciate these testimonies, Brother George here, Kenya. These men are pastors. You've heard from them. Churches started, and I feel for them. I come over here with somebody like Scotty and I, and we just get kind of push them around a little bit. But these are men of God that God has used in a mighty way. We tell them to sing. I thought about that. If I was a missionary and a guy told me to sing, how could I sing if I can't sing? I'd be in a fix. I've seen him do that to missionaries all over this platform, and there's never been a one couldn't sing. They've done a good job tonight, didn't they?
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, Brother George was telling us Somalia, is that the name of the country right there close? And that's where the terrorists and this bad crowd's coming out. They're machine gunning whole churches and pastors and all of that. And you talk about the love of Christ still constraining people to go with the message. Dangerous place on planet Earth. You don't know when the doors of the building's going to open, and here comes the machine guns. And my heart goes out. I have great respect for these men that are going over there getting the job done. I really, really do. And I appreciate them coming over here to share with us, to leave wives and kids, and maybe even sometime even in danger. Down in Mexico, Brother Gomez talking about it. Man, they kidnappings and murderers and cutting off heads and hanging them from the bridge and all of that sort of stuff. Bad. And Yet they're down there getting souls saved just by the hundreds. I really do believe that all we're seeing in the news today, folks, including even the natural disasters, that the Lord is telling us time is short. We need to get the job done. I really, really do believe that. I visit the hospital with suffering people, and what can you say? I can't tell them the answer. The doctor can't tell them the answer on this earth, but I can tell them the trumpet may sound soon and get us off. Amen? And I really believe that. In the meantime, let's give to missions. Let's pray for missions. Let's do what we can, mission work to our neighbors and around here. As much as we can. Pray for our mission conference. We will conclude it Sunday. You'll hear from some of these men and others. And let's pray for a great victory again. In a sense, now you have to catch my drift on this. In a sense, America's become the hardest hearted part of Christianity anymore. Because we got more to give, more to do with than some of the others that's sacrificing so great to get the message out. And God help me, I don't want to just be a nominal, what's called average at the best, Christian. I want to still feel God pushing.